That's it. Okay, it is approximately 2:48. We're back on the record at on OPA PA-09-012. Prior to going on record, the parties and the hearing officer had a discussion, and there was basically the to summarize that discussion. There's still no word from either Ms. Igbazi or Mr. Kono as to their availability. So I agreed with the parties that we would bring this up after the purchasing agency had finished with their last witness as to whether or not we would proceed, or we'll entertain their any request to continue at that time. Likewise, we also had a discussion concerning Ms. Anita Cruz, who is here pro se. And once again, Ms. Cruz, so did you have any questions for any of the witnesses that we've gone through so far as a pro se party, or do you feel that Ms. Mooney covered the questions you would have asked adequately? Could you please talk into the mic?
I think Ms. Mooney had asked the question.
And for the record, I did note that during Ms. Mooney's questioning of the witnesses, you were conversing with her on some of those questions. Is that correct?
Yes, just in regards to their response.
Okay. But do you feel you need to recall any of those witnesses that we've gone through between yesterday and now for any of your questions?
No.
Okay. So, we are still in DOE's case in chief. We have just finished the testimony of Mr. Pete San Nicolas. And Ms. Mooney, we'll call your next witness.
If we, if I might have a moment to make a statement with regard to your inquiry as to the GSA being pro se. How I've been proceeding with my case in chief, how I've been proceeding with my case in chief has been based on the witness list that I've produced and the strategy that I understand to be in place with past conversations with Robert Kono. But one of the issues is the ability for opposing counsel to be able to cross-examine the chief procurement officer and for us to include her statements, in particular, like the December 9th.
We're going to take up the issue of Ms. Igbazi's presence after you've gone through your witnesses, as I stated earlier. We're not going to take that up at this time, Ms. Mooney.
I understand, but I want to just be on the record and that I understand that you need to continue to move and that you're delaying or deferring that question, but it affects how we proceed at this time. And I, as counsel for the DOE, feel that it's unfair to the GSA pro se not to have clarification and to at least admit into that record the written statements of the chief procurement officer.
Everything that's been filed with the agency court report is part of the record. When we were talking about the exhibits, as I stated several times from the pre-hearing conference to now, the exhibit list and the copies of the exhibits that you've had, those are for the witnesses who will be testifying. All the other documents that you submitted with the agency report and earlier mandatory filings, those are already part of the procurement record. Or, excuse me, not procurement, but the record in this matter.
And they will be part of the consideration?
That is correct.
And that's, I'm just seeking that clarification because that's one thing that has been of concern. We've been going back and forth on to make sure that would be the case here at the table. We're concerned about that aspect of it and making sure that there was the ability for the cross-examination. He didn't feel that he would have on the record if we did it telephonically by document. So we just want a full and fair hearing, and we're not meaning to delay anything. I'm just an unusual circumstance.
We've known about this hearing since the pre-hearing conference back in January, over a month ago.
Ms. Chacona went in the hospital last week, and Ms. Faji, at the time of that pre-hearing conference, was due back on February 11th.
And I believe that you yourself were present at pre-hearing conference, is that correct?
Correct. And
you were not licensed to practice at that time, is that correct?
Right. The DOE is present and we're proceeding. I just want to make sure that it's just clear all over the record as to the unusual circumstances that occurred subsequent to that, that have an agency that is appearing pro se as the...
This morning we're going to take up the issue of the availability of Ms. Faji and Ms. Kono after you've gone through your last witness that's present here.
Okay.
And you can renew your motion at that time.
Okay. I just have one quick housekeeping matter. I have to present to the record appellant's exhibits 31 through 35, and these are the exhibits to supplement Pete Valencia's testimony that were previously allowed earlier today. I just have the copies now, so if I can enter them to have them to the plan.
Have you presented a copy to you on this one?
Right now, okay. I'm doing it.
Do any of these fair and accurate copies of the documents that you reviewed earlier?
I only had a brief opportunity to review the documents earlier. I would trust Mr. Jackson to have made a fair and accurate copy of them. And I would request an opportunity to give them the appropriate program people within the DOE to review.
Well, I'm going to admit them... subject, of course, to any objection you might have, it'll be fine. Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Winnie, you may proceed with your next witness.
We would like to call Mr. H. Mark Roof.
The testimony you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. Ms. Ruth, thank you for coming to these proceedings. I'm the hearing officer for the OPA, Anthony Camacho. During your testimony, please speak loudly and directly into the mic so we can record your testimony.
Okay.
Ms. Mooney, your witness.
Mr. Ruth, could you briefly give us a little background as to your degrees and your background?
So, I'm a graduate of Montana State University with a Bachelor of Architecture, and I have a Master of Architecture from the University of Minnesota. After I got out of graduate school, I joined the Navy with the Civil Engineer Corps. My first duty station was on Guam. I was a base engineer for Naval Magazine, and then I went to Vietnam for a year. And in the meantime, I got married to a local person, and then I came back, and I worked for Daniel Mann Johnson for 5, 6, or 7 years, whatever it was. And then I set up the partnership, Taniguchi Roof Architects, in 1978, and in fact, since then, now I'm known as Taniguchi Roof McKeel Architect, and Taniguchi has died. I was registered as an architect in 1972, and I'm registered in Saipan and also in Montana.
Thank you. Can you briefly tell us your relationship with the Guam Public School System and ISB number 008-2009, the rebid on the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium repairs? What is your legal relationship?
Well, our legal relationship is we have a IDIQ contract with the Department of Education. At the time we signed it, it was GPSS, Guam Public School System, and it's a multi-year contract, and it's work order based for various projects, and one of the projects that was given to us is the Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium, the nature of that task order was to prepare the documents, the technical documents that would then be used to bid for the project. Our task order on that is limited up to actually the completion of the submission of the technical documents.
With regard to the roles that you play as an architect engineering firm on these contracts, you come in as a design for design purposes, or for what are the three levels you usually come in on? You come in as a contract manager sometimes.
Okay. Well, there's basically five levels. Of architectural services, other than pre-design work. But the first one is design, which is sometimes looked at as schematic design, and then the second part of that is design development. And then after that, we do what is called the construction documents phase, which includes the technical preparation of drawings and specifications. And then the fourth one is the bid phase, and the fifth one is the construction administration phase. Construction management, in this case, is a form of augmented construction administration. It's not true construction management as a construction manager.
Thank you. By way of education as well, on the ISB, you perform a service of preparing the technical specifications portions of the ISB only, is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the ISB you're referring to, but if you're referring to this document that we prepared, which is the
technical specifications,
if that's
it's an attachment to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is what we prepared, and the drawings as well.
And
Could you identify that document for the record? Is that
well, this is our copy of it, what we provided to them. Technical specifications for GPS IFB number 008, there you go, 2009 Ocean View Middle School Gymnasium Repairs, 100% submitted.
Is that part of the, Ms. Mooney, just for clarity?
Well, my understanding,
is that part of the procurement record in this matter?
Well, I have, my next question would be.
I see my staff shaking their heads here.
Yeah.
Is that part of the end?
Well, the to the immediate right is appellee's exhibit 1, and my understanding was starting at page 29.
Sure. None of this.
None of this, but you...
None of this is bilingual.
Yours is, does yours also usually involve, like, a role scheme or a drawing process, too, or is it all just in that book?
Yes, it's a set of drawings.
A set of drawings in
yes.
addition to that book?
Yes, absolutely.
That would be part of the specification.
No, we don't consider, we say drawings and specifications, that's considered the documents.
I'm sorry, we go off the record for just a minute. Apologize, Mr. Back on the record at 3:09, there was a brief discussion off record where it was discerned that the technical specifications prepared by, I'm just using the acronym we use, TRMA, were not included in the procurement record filed in this matter by DOE and GSA. I have ordered that GSA and DOE, or whoever has a copy of this document, supplement the procurement record no later than noon tomorrow, and also provide a copy. Mr. Jackson, it wasn't quite clear to me. Does your client have a copy of that already? Do you have a copy of that?
I've never seen that document before.
Okay. And that a copy also be provided to Mr. Jackson, the appellant's counsel. Okay?
He couldn't have been without the copy.
Sorry. You'll have your opportunity to testify, Mr. Reed. But that's the order I'm giving the DOE and GSA at this time. Ms. Mooney, please proceed.
Could you briefly tell us what this particular project at Ocean View Middle School involved?
Well, it was an existing gymnasium, and it had leaks in the roof, and repaired the leaks in the roof, and did repairs to the exterior of the building, and also replaced the gym floor and bleachers and everything, and made it, repaired the locker rooms and made it. Brought it back to be a viable gymnasium for the school.
Approximately how many different specifications or materials are required to do that type of work?
More than 10,
15?
100.
Did there come a time after you completed your portion of the design for this ISD that you would, or then approached by the Department of Education, Rod Paya, with regard to this particular bid, rebid?
Yes.
And can you explain to us what caused him to, or it was in July of 2009?
And Rod came to me because Cedric Cruz, who is my associate architect, works for the firm, and handled the day-to-day on the job. I had just left on vacation, coincidentally, that's how it works. But, came to me and said that they needed an evaluation of the products that were submitted, the bids, the two bids in particular we did, not the other bids, and asked that I forget how many days I was given, a day or two or something like that, to respond. And so that's when I wrote my letter, which I think is dated July 16th.
In the blue book, I'm going to draw your attention to Appellee Exhibit 8. It's behind number, Appellee number 8 is on that side of the table. Is that a copy of a letter or a memorandum that you prepared as a result of looking at the materials that you were given?
Yes, it appears to be.
In what you explained there were five different phases that you work in as an architect engineer. What did the review of the materials, because we were reviewing brochures and literature, catalogs of materials, to see whether or not they met specifications, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what are the five levels or phases of being an architect engineer on a project? Did that fall in?
Would that normally fall in?
Mm-hmm.
It would normally fall in the construction administration phase.
And when did that occur?
After award of contract and after signing of the contract.
So after it's signed?
The construction contract.
The construction contract. And at that point in time, what is the standard that you're reviewing it for? Or what level do the brochures and literature have to do? Are you reviewing it to see whether or not the brochures and literature meet specifications, the technical specifications?
Yes, that's the purpose.
Purpose. And who proposes it at that point in the procurement process?
Is that what you mean?
Uh-huh,
I mean,
contractor.
I'm sorry, that's not what
you mean. Yeah, I'm just trying to understand, yeah.
They submit it.
Okay, that's part of the process.
Okay, Mr. Ruth, Ms. Mooney, please to preserve the transcript. Just one person talking at one time, please. Thank you. Please proceed.
With regard to your being approached in July of 2009 to review the materials and brochure catalog by, you said, two contractors, or not two contractors, two bidders at that juncture. Was that something that was in the normal course of your practice at that particular point in the procurement process?
It wasn't normal in the, I think, this kind of a procurement process. There are other types of procurement process and it could occur. This was not a value engineering type of situation, and so it would be abnormal for us to be reviewing products against specifications because, in our opinion, it's a qualification of the bid documents. Of the bid proposal made by the contractor. That we generally say that bid proposals by contractors are not supposed to be qualified. In other words, you need to meet the spec. Say you meet the spec, and you're not supposed to tell us that, you know, maybe you do it, maybe you don't. Other than that, say you were in a value engineering situation, at which point you evaluated it as a value engineering savings to the client.
What is the risk if you review the brochures and literature and say that it meets the specifications when it doesn't at the later point in the contracting process at the construction management contract level after the contract signs?
I'm not sure what the risk is. It would be something that would be would not be good, and that's why in my letter I qualified that I just did not. I said something that these are preliminary judgments, and we must reserve the right to disapprove a full submittal when it's made. That's why I included that comment, because I wasn't qualified. It was not a complete submittal in terms of what we require for submittals.
What additional information do you require for submittals?
Well, they're supposed to be documented as submittals, supposed to be made as submittals, the submittal numbers and transcripts, they're supposed to provide a complete set of product data, they're supposed to provide calculations as necessary. If there's a deviation from the specification, they're supposed to then follow the substitution process and explain why they're deviating from the specification, those kind of things.
And are they're supposed to meet or equal the...
The intent is always to be equal or better than the...
Equal or better. And if the product is being suggested at that point in the construction process and it does not meet or better the technical specifications, what happens with the price?
At which point?
In the construction management contract. After the award, the construction phase.
Well, it's simply sent back to the contractor and disapproved.
Okay.
And we expect him to make a resubmission of a product that isn't compliant.
With regard to your review that you do on July 16th, 2009, can you explain a little bit to us what you were doing? You were looking at how many different items?
Thirteen items, and I was reviewing the document that was submitted. It was a folder, it was a manila folder, and it had these things in loose, and I was looking at them. They were not identified as what specification section they were for or anything. They simply were a door catalog and a roofing catalog, and so. But being an architect, I knew what it was, so I reviewed them against the specification and made my submitted a spreadsheet which tried to, in a short statement, say what my opinion was of the documents given to me.
Were brochures and literature given to you for all the materials that are set forth in this particular project?
No. I don't know why that particular is. I don't know.
Well, did each of the vendors whose brochures and bidders whose brochures and literature, did they submit both for the same items?
It appeared so, yes.
Okay.
In the same order.
In the same order. With regard to the two, there were five bids on this project. Did you review the other three bid packages?
No. Mr. Chaya said it wasn't necessary to review those, just the two lower bids.
So, and that's what one...
He had them with him, but I didn't.
You didn't review them? One of the bids was done by Eon's Enterprises, and it had a basic bid and a alternate bid. Did you review the basic bid of Eon's Enterprises?
I reviewed the alternate bid.
Just the alternate bid?
As requested.
Did you review, and I'm just going to ask one more time, did you review the difference between the alternate bid and the basic bid of Eon's Enterprises?
No, I didn't.
With regard to the items that you did review, did both of the companies meet specifications from the literature and the brochure review that you did?
No, they did not. That should be said, a certain portion of the specification.
Yes. So could you tell us then what your directions are in your July 16, 2009 letter as a result of what do you mean by not for construction? Sorry. Lost my apostrophe. If you could take us through, like, your conclusion, what you mean by your statement that they don't for construction purposes. I'm trying to utilize your phraseology.
I think you need to direct me a little more.
Okay.
I mean, I responded to 13 things on two contractors, 20.
On the front, the cover sheet is what I'm at. As you conclude your review, the general comments. I think D, letter D?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes, that is stating that they still have to go through the construction administration process of submittals that's in the specification. There's a section that deals with how to make submittals. They still need to go through that process. That's the first statement. And the second statement is that when they make their submittals, that they need to be in English, because several of these were in Chinese, and they need to, if they have calculations, like wind load calculations, I want them in pounds per square foot and not newtons per whatever.
Okay. And with regard to the chart that's attached, my understanding that there were more items that Eon's Enterprise did not provide brochures and literature that were acceptable than V4 Corporation, is that correct?
For a normal construction job, there would be many more submittals that would
okay.
require than these.
But with regard to one item, V4 and EANs both were determined to be unacceptable, and I direct your attention to the scoreboard, the 11480 scoreboard electromech. Is that correct?
That's correct. I think they got their price from the same supplier. I think they got their information from the same supplier.
Okay. In September of 2009, and now I'm going to direct your attention to the Blue Book, which is tab number 25. Yeah, about four pages in your letter dated September 16th.
Yeah, does it
look familiar?
Yes, it's familiar.
Are you again reviewing brochures and literature on behalf of the DOE GSA at that point?
No, I'm reviewing a... Yes, I was. It was a submittal by eons of brochures. That's correct.
Okay. And it's with regard to some of the same items that you had the previous review in July?
And I think it was five items out of that list.
And did they meet the technical specifications at that point?
No. Not entirely. Some did, some did not.
And
for the most part, they did not, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. And did you go back to the DOE facilities manager or Rod Taya and let them know that?
I sent the memorandum to Billy Cruz.
Billy Cruz.
With a copy to Rod. So.
Okay. Did you, so that's twice. Was there a third time that you had to review the material?
No.
No, just twice.
If I should say something to you. In reference to that letter, that although the products that were submitted, I didn't find acceptable. In some cases, there was a document submitted with the letter from the contractor that said, if you don't approve the product, we'll meet the specification. So then I would make a statement that. On the basis of that statement, if they volunteer, that they will meet the specification, then they...
For the bid price?
That would be okay, you know.
Was that deferring it to that construction, the construction phase then?
Well, basically, that's what would happen, I think.
I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Jackson, your witness for cross-examination.
Just a minute. Near September 6th, or excuse me, July 16th, evaluation. In regards to EON's bid, there's a lot of they want no information provided, inadequate information. Did you find that with regards to EON's, they failed to fully explain what they're offering?
What I should say is that the documents provided to me for a technical review were not adequate for my technical review.
No further questions.
Do you have any redirect, Ms. Looney?
No, I don't.
And Ms. Cruz, did you have any questions for the witness?
Mr. Roos, thank you for coming. I just wanted to get a general idea of the process because in yesterday's testimony from DOE procurement, both Roque Alcantara and Mr. Albert Garcia both testified that they were not qualified to review the specifications, this was beyond their ability, and that's why they turned over the document to you for your review. And so just to kind of get a general understanding of the process, when would the specifications be reviewed to determine if a bidder is qualified? At what point in the procurement process, from your own experience?
Generally, when you do a competitive bid process, the competitive bid process says that you meet the specifications. I mean, that's what the intent of it is. And if we want to have alternates proposed, we propose them as additive or deductive or other types of bid items. In other words, we'll say, instead of this kind of roof, what would your price be for that kind of roof, deductive price or additive price? What if instead of providing this kind of an athletic flooring, you provided a less expensive type? You know, they wasn't quite serving the purposes of the school, but if the school says, you know, we have a limited budget, we do this a lot of times to meet budget, right, so that they can pick and choose to bring their budget in line. So then there would be a review of those prices, but they would still be better than what we propose as an alternative.
So in the normal course of things, when the bid documents came in from the four bidders, if this were public works, let's just say, to the best of your knowledge, how would public works, would Public Works just look at, first of all, who was the contractor that submitted the lowest price? And the next lowest, and only look at those and pull out the others that were higher? In other words, I'm trying to get an understanding of the process and what DOE may or may not have done, and then GSA similarly. That's what I'm trying to understand, the process.
Okay.
In evaluating if a bid is, quote, qualified. Because what I'm understanding is that because Eon's alternate bid was the lowest, therefore, quote, they qualified because they were by virtue the lowest. And isn't there some kind of iterative process to determine if the lowest bid was also a qualified bid?
Yes, there is. You want the lowest responsive and responsible bidder. So Public Works will often double check to make sure they have a contractor's license. Public Works will, of course, look at their check that they're going to be able to bond the project, make sure that all their documents that were required by the bid are in order.
The documents that are required are in order.
Yeah.
What would those be comprised of?
Generally, it's a 2 or 3 page form, which is basically a bid form, which is signed on the bottom by the general contractor.
And was such a form prepared by your firm in preparation for this bid?
We did not, because normally Public Works would do this, in this case it's DOE, or any of the agencies would do it. So the government uses their form. They don't use our form.
So there should have been some kind of summary form outlining what again?
Well, let's say we're doing let's take it to a private project, which is one where we would handle directly. We would do the evaluation of the bids. The bid, there would be an invitation to bid, and there will be a bid proposal form. And basically it says, for this project, and it kind of lists, you know, to make sure that we're in agreement. And sometimes it will list the liquidated damages, and it will have them fill in that they're bonding company and they're bonding the test that they will bond the project. And then at the bottom, and their contractor's license, and then it'll be signed at the bottom. That is a two-page form that I think.
That I understand. It's, yeah. It's more the substance, the material.
That's all that's usually used in the
oh, mm-hmm. Saying that they will meet specifications?
In my opinion, yes. The procurement process says that they will meet the specifications. But qualifying bids, generally, when we have a contract to qualify bids, we'll throw them out if it's a major qualification, because then it's unfair to the other bidders. They did not have the opportunity to bid on the same item. So.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Well, it's not a level playing field because the other bidders were not able to bid. So qualifying a bid is not normally acceptable. I think it's written in that way in the procurement law.
No, I'm sorry. Let's just go back to at some point a determination was made that one or the other company didn't qualify, not because of the specifications, but because of either the bond or there was a lack of explanation. Okay, this is so. Assuming that there was a summary form that said they would meet the specifications, who would ultimately review to ensure that all of the specifications were met? Would that be your firm, given your contract with DOE?
Let me.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand this process.
Well, I guess I need to say that this process wasn't the normal process. When we do projects for Guam Memorial Hospital or GDC, we are never asked to, well, we do not receive alternate prices that weren't solicited, that weren't requested in the bid, invitation to bid, and we don't receive technical specifications that we're supposed to review. This document, and we received a copy of this after this thing started to boil up, this project allowed contractors to submit alternative bids, and it also required them to submit descriptive literature. That is not the typical way with a construction contract.
I see.
That's where you buy cars or furniture or something.
Okay. So what would be the normal way? Because this, you know, this is not a cheap project. This is a significant project, and according to what the DOE personnel said, the current personnel said. So what should have been the process? From your experience, what has been the process you have experienced?
Well, they should not have asked for alternative bids, and they should not have asked, but were not specifically laid out. I mean, when we say alternative bids, we say this is bid item number two, and it's to do precast in lieu of cast in place, or this is bid item number three, to provide a acrylic roof instead of a urethane roof, those kinds of things. Sorry. Those are, we've asked them to give us prices.
When you say we, meaning the agency would specifically ask in certain areas, give us alternatives.
With our assistance, yes.
Okay. So when you prepared that specification, did you ask for alternatives?
No, we didn't. And on the drawings, we did not ask for alternatives. Usually, alternatives will be identified on the drawing, and we did not identify alternatives.
So then the alternative bid that you were asked to review
is new to us.
Was new, okay. Was new to you. All right. So going back to the, unless the agency specifically gave an option to the bidders, an alternative bid should not have been submitted. In other words, I want hardwood floor, but if you want to give me tile, I could accept tile, right? Is that an example?
that's an example of value engineering, and that's an example of what we might do with proposals, but that's not an example. That's an example of qualifying bid, which I feel goes against the procurement law, which says this is a specification, you meet the specification, you can have alternate materials, but they are supposed to be equal or better than the materials specified. And it doesn't say that you, in your bid, you say, I will provide you tile instead of wood, and this is my price, unless we said, tell us what the difference is, so we can decide if it's worth it.
So going back to that example, if I wanted wood flooring, you could put a, let's say, maple versus oak?
Yeah, it may not be a cost difference, but it's here.
Yeah, okay, that would be an example of an alternative bid?
That's...
The other example would be roof coating versus elastomeric or something like that.
A good example would be wood doors instead of metal doors.
Okay. All right. So, going back to, the comment that the procurement people from UE made that they were not qualified to evaluate the specifications, at what point, how did you make the selection then? I mean, because it sounded like they did not bring you into the process to evaluate the bid submittals. They only made a determination of the two lowest and said evaluate based on what may have been submitted. I don't know if those were the complete submissions, but they appeared to be, from your comment, partial submissions.
The problem with the question is that this bid document that DOE or GPSS issued is unlike what we've normally dealing with. So what I'd like to do is just say, if this was a Department of Public Works project, and let's say CL Titanel, we did CL Titanel for Department of Public Works, and the bids were submitted, and all we would be asked to do was to look at whether the prices were reasonable, and whether in CL Titanel we had alternatives, so we would look at the alternatives and say whether we were reasonable. And all we were, that was what we'd be required to do. But this project became, and in that case, the review of technical items, such as in this document, would happen in the construction administration phase.
After the award.
After the award. In this project, and so in that case, going back, GSA would not need us to do any review beyond that. But in this case, where there were technical documents submitted with the bid, and they were beyond the capability. That's why they hire our
staff.
So they asked us to do the review. But normally we wouldn't be doing that type of review. But in this case, we did because that's the way it was.
You said earlier you did CL Titanel. It was my understanding that DOE had a memorandum of understanding to do those types of repairs with DPW. So when you said CL Titanel, you were working with DPW as the contracting agency.
That's correct. This is the first project that DOE bid that we were involved in, the DOE bid.
On their own.
Not being the user or the client.
DOE being the contracting.
That's right.
As opposed to going to DPW to assist DOE.
And they were the contracting officer. That's correct.
And they were the contracting officer. Okay. In your own experience, have you ever dealt with GSA as a contracting officer for this type of project?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
We have dealt with federal GSA, but not the local GSA.
So it's kind of unusual then for GSA to be handling a construction project.
Well, if I'm not, I believe GSA was brought in afterwards. I believe it was bid out by DOE, and
correct.
GSA came in later.
Yes, that's correct. But at no point was DPW involved in this particular project.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Could I just get, knowing what you know now, and given DOE's admission that they are not qualified to do this type of project on their own, what would have been the process from your experience? How should DOE have done this in looking back now?
You're speaking after the bids were received?
No, just from the very beginning. In other words, they contracted you to do the specification. So after you got the specification, after the specifications were done, what should DOE have done next, and so on, all the way to the opening and so on?
Maybe I'll end up qualifying the statement I made earlier, but DOE should have issued it as a construction bid and not as a bid for supplies or for
construction bid.
And they should, if they didn't have the information to issue it as a construction bid, they should have gone to Public Works, who I'm sure would have been happy to help them do it. Public Works has a nice set of documents. They could have edited down for themselves and expanded and whatever they need to fit their circumstances. And then they would have a set of boilerplate documents, is what we call it, which is the front-end bid stuff, which is the document you showed to me, 64 pages or whatever it was, which would be attached to our documents and would be given to the bidder and would be the instructions to the bidder as far as how the government contracts for something. I'm not saying anything in there about how the government contracts for anything. I'm not saying how you get paid and how many days or anything like that. So they should have prepared that, and then they should have attached it, and then they should have been issued. So I guess they did, but I don't know how they did it.
Okay. And from your experience, after the bids are submitted, DPW then would have determined who should be awarded.
They would determine, yes.
Yes. And then once that determination was made, when would if company X were, let's say, to receive it, at what point would the specifications be reviewed to ensure that they were in conformance?
Okay, maybe just to go through the process a little more, the Public Works would issue a notice of award to a contractor and ask him to submit his bid bond, his bonds and his insurance and these other documents that they want to be sure about. And when everything is in place, then they would follow through with a contract, and then upon signing the contract, they'd issue a notice to proceed to the contractor. And at the time of the notice to proceed, the construction time would start. So let's say it's 180 days like this job, and that was when it would start. And at that time, the contractor would start making submittals. They would go to Public Works, and then they would be relayed to us. Now, in the case with DOE, their intent was that to elevate our services above construction administration to this construction management, that the proposals would come direct. I mean, the contractor submittals would come directly to us, and that DOE would not really be in the process of passing papers back and forth. But after we approved them or disapproved them, we would give them a copy.
And then once the specifications are approved, that's when they can go full bore to do the contract. Because there needs to be an agreement by you in this case, because you were contracted, to ensure that the contractor has met all the specifications.
Yes, but it doesn't have to be all of the specifications approved before he does any work on the ground. They just need to be done before he starts work on something. So, and there's two reasons two situations that happen with that is, first off, they're going to do their submittals for their early work first, which would be, let's say, earthwork or concrete, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And then they're going to do their submittal for door hardware maybe later because it was on a different procurement chain. But by the same token, they had to have, they would send their specifications to a supplier. They would say, here's what the specifications say, give me a quote. And the contractor will build up his price based upon quotes from the suppliers. It's then incumbent upon the supplier to meet the specification. And the supplier will then assist them in preparing the submittal that would be submitted to us. And because the contractor can go ahead and he can do anything he wants. He can procure the material if he wants to, but if he's a smart contractor, he waits until he has approval before he tells the contractor to start fabricating windows or something like that so that they don't get into trouble. And so he would do that for the various products and systems, whatever is involved. And
so it would be an iterative process, a back and forth, phase one, phase two, or however, you know, back and forth, there would, if it was the groundwork to get going, as the pre-construction or whatever, and there would be back, so you would be submitting, the contractor would be submitting various submittals depending on what phase he's at to you.
Yeah, we ask them for a submittal schedule. It basically says, you know, these are, we're giving this, and in March we're going to give that, and in April, you know, that kind of a thing.
Okay, the timeline.
They have to take time to prepare it themselves, but they're the ones who are responsible for their timeline. Mm. So, you know, the things that they need to have a long delivery time or that they need early on, they're going to push those to the front and ask us to do it. And if the submittal is proper, we'll approve it. We could approve the submittal with comments saying, this door is correct, but you shall have an intermediate strengthener in the door or something like that. And the other would be to submit it with comments and to approve it to, I'm sorry, to return it with comments. And this is, make these corrections and resubmit it. It's approved in concept, but make these corrections and resubmit it. But we want to see you resubmit it just to make sure that we're sure, right? Maybe there's too many comments or whatever it is. And then the last item is, well, there's two more items. One is to, if they say it's rejected, it's disapproved. And the last one is to say, oh, we don't know why you submitted to it. It has nothing to do with our job. No.
And you mentioned earlier CL Tyson, and I recall that was a much smaller job, if I recall.
No, not at all.
No? I'm sorry.
No, that was a much larger job.
Much larger?
I don't remember now, $4.5 million.
Oh, okay. So, but that was handled, all of that back and forth was not handled by DOE, but was handled by DPW and your office.
That's correct. And when we had project meetings, there would be a representative of DOE there because they're the using agency.
Sure.
But they were not in the chain of command, to my knowledge.
That could be overridden by DPW?
I think they didn't have a right to ask for anything ever. I mean, they could ask DPW, but things did not run through them. They were simply observers, I guess.
Well,
they
thank
didn't
you.
Hesitate to ask the things.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ruth, for enlightening us as to what the process might have been or should have been. I appreciate your testimony.
I'm sorry if it's confusing, but I know.
Mr. Ruth, I just have a couple of brief questions. The Ocean View Gymnasium project, in your opinion, was that a construction project?
That's a construction project.
Why?
Because it involved construction, it would require a licensed contractor.
And is there really a difference between a construction project and a renovation project?
Well, there are all types of construction projects. There's new construction, there's repair, there's renovation, there's maintenance construction.
Yeah, but in your opinion, even if it was styled to say a renovation, this particular project, in your opinion, would it still be a construction project?
Still a construction project.
Thank you. Is either party or GSA have any follow-up questions?
I just have one question. Just one question, sir. You stated that if this was the normal process, and if this had been a project with DPW, the bidders would submit their bids, and they would be forwarded to you just to determine if they're reasonably priced. Now, then it would be up to the procurement agency whether these bids were qualified or...
That's correct.
Thank you. No further questions.
Ms. Wynn?
With regard to the Department of Education and the bid documents that are in front of us in this particular project, the two items that caused it to go awry were the inclusion of the literature and brochures and the inclusion of an alternate bid. Other than that, it was in the process of obtaining a bid proposal in keeping with your specifications. Is that correct?
Well, without having done an exhaustive review of the document, I would say if those two clauses were not in it, it would have simplified this whole situation, and we would have had more like a normal bid process.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Mr. Ruth, as these proceedings are still ongoing, I'm going to direct you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses or any of the parties in this matter until these proceedings have concluded. And I'm going to excuse you at this time, of course, subject to potential recall by other parties while these proceedings are in progress. You understand that?
I understand.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Your excuse.
Thank you.
And please leave the exhibits where they are. Yeah, but you brought your own.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know quite how this hearing was going.
Okay.
But do you want me to leave this?
Is that a spare copy?
No. Okay. But I mean, we have the original right there.
Okay.
Working.
Well, I've directed, you might want to work that with GSA. I've directed them to provide us a copy. So, but if you want to surrender that copy, that's surrender that to GSA so they can.
Well, the thing I need to say is this is our working copy. And what was issued to contractors may be different. I don't know what they issued to contractors.
Well,
I'm assuming it's the same, but I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we better get what's issued.
Yeah, that's what I want. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Ruth. Ms. Ruth, can you
have a brief recess? 5 minutes?
Okay. Can we both recess and...
I do, and I'd like to...
Okay. We're going to reconvene at 5 after 4 then. Okay. All right. Off the record at 3:55.